Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Each week here on the Smart Thinking Podcast, we try to create the opportunity for you to reflect on a relevant topic and sometimes throw in a couple of strategies to help you grow and increase your ability to lead. This week, I want to do some smart thinking around our horrible inability to seek help from others. I say this because I, like you, see people fail miserably on occasion, and I also notice a weird correlation with people who falter and a weird sense of pride. Almost as if they'd rather fail than succumb to admitting they need a helping hand. Being stubborn is a good quality when you're persevering through something, when you refuse to bend on your values or your vision. But being stubborn when you need others to lend a hand, well, that's just stupid. Yet, we all do it. We waffle around trying to be successful or feel successful, and in the meantime, we are failing because we won't ask for help. I've seen this lately on an epic scale, and I just don't understand why people can't simply say, "Hey, can you help me with this?" Now, I'm not going to pretend for a moment that I'm good at this. As a matter of fact, I am at my most engaged when someone seeks my help or support. But when I need help, I'm overcome with a weight, and I often find myself looking up from a very deep pit that I've usually dug myself. But I also notice when I ask for help, people come running towards me, not away. And as a result of reflecting upon this and recognizing my own hypocrisy on this topic, I mean, I want people to ask me for help, but I'm horrible at modeling it. And that it turns out, is the secret to getting others to be willing to seek support from you. You have to create the conditions so that people feel safe asking you, and that occurs if you do it first and with frequency. I mean, if you ask for help, others will ask you for help. I did a little research on this, and I thought I'd share it with you. Remember that leaders are cognizant of their influence on others, and that our guiding behavior is to charge into the problems that face us, like the buffalo runs into the storm. Sometimes running into the storm is in an effort to seek support. Yeah, like sometimes we run to the problem, which is our inability to ask others for help. Chasing down our problems includes running towards others and simply asking, "Help." In an effort to understand all of this, I want to tell you the story that got me thinking about this, share the research behind our brain's response to seeking help, as well as giving help and forcing you to reflect upon how you act as a leader in setting the conditions so that people are safe in asking others for support. Through this wonderful pandemic, I've seen leaders double down on stubbornness. An overwhelming feeling is weighing down everyone. So much we feel is out of our control, and so much that we desire that we can't have. Yet some leaders fail, for lack of courage, to seek support. And as a result, they find themselves in some really sticky situations. I've seen leaders flat out lie in order to ensure they are right. And lies have a nasty way of catching up to people. People who are unwilling to ask for help and have to lead from a position of, "I'm always the expert," not only create the conditions of instability, but model for others that it is not acceptable to ask for help. The greatest weakness of a leader is an inability to recognize that they don't know everything. And recently, I observed a leader who needed help only to completely ignore opportunities and advice from all those around them. This person is responsible for an awful lot, and they just continue to act as if they're in the know, that they're right, and that they and only they could be the answer for the problems that the organization was facing. 1. I totally get it when you are struggling and you don't want others to help. It feels like you are weak. Yet, what I have learned is that taking advantage of the willingness of others to help you is not a weakness. It's a very engaging and understanding your weaknesses is actually a very powerful strength. So again, ask for help. Let's look at the research first. I mean, are any of you blown away by this functional magnetic resonance imaging, you know, an MRI? I mean, how cool is it that they can image your brain to see what parts respond to what? It's so amazing. Anyway, in a study I found of the brain and how it responds to certain prompts, a remarkable correlation was found. When people had their brains imaged and were prompted to ask for help, their brains triggered in the same sensory area that lights up when we are experiencing physical pain. When I read that the first time, I paused for quite a bit. Asking for help is hard, and it has the same emotional pain points that your brain learns from falling down or hitting your hand with a hammer or a paper cut, which, by the way, I'll take the hammer over the paper cut any day. Seriously, think about this. Once we learn the power of pain, we avoid it at all costs. So if our brain fires or triggers in the same region when we have to ask for help, no wonder it's so emotionally stressful to seek help from others. Seeking help is not only a cultural issue in the Western civilization, a perceived weakness, it is also an emotionally painful experience. Asking for help literally hurts. Now, accepting help falls right into this category. People are willing to help, but we don't always know how to access it. Again, even when there is overwhelming support for ourselves from other people, we will often and weirdly say, "Nah, I got this," even though we know darn well it would really be great for someone to just help us out. I mean, I can give you 100 examples of this. I was once carrying a 4x8 sheet of plywood from my car or my truck to the garage, and my neighbor saw me and shouted out, "Hey, give me a second, I'll come over and help you with that," only for me to shout out, "Nah, I got it," and I really needed help, but my signal was clear: stay away. So what do? We make accepting help acceptable by modeling support, asking for support, and reinforcing when we see others surrendering their stubbornness and engaging in the natural collaboration that can occur when we say, "Yeah, you know what? I could use a hand." Or you can be an idiot like me, and once you get in the garage with your sheet of plywood, trip and have it land on you, only to have your neighbor remind you often that you are a stubborn mule. Let's go back to the research from this cool MRI machine. While imaging the brain, they also learned that when people offered help and it was accepted, it triggered the part of the brain where pleasure and reward is found. There is a rush of blood to the head when someone else needs us, and that pleasure or satisfaction increases when we actually get to help. This triggers even in our brains when we simply donate a small amount of money or help someone in a small way. I saw this firsthand a few years ago, when my wife Megan had to have her appendix taken out and all of my mom's and mother-in-law's friends started dropping off lasagnas, tater tot casseroles, and gift cards for meals. They were so happy to help, and I was so impressed with how many people showed up to our home without us even asking. It felt good for all of us, and a fridge full of free food. Well, that's pretty nice as well. Yet, there's no way I would have ever asked any of those people for help. But the point is this. Helping is happy. Don't you find it kind of weird that our brain loves the feeling of help but hates the act of asking for it? It makes no sense, but it is how we're literally all wired. So now we have to get to supporting others by helping. And the first thing we need to do is reflect on a simple question. You ready? How good are you at accepting help? Put it on a scale of 1 being I'd rather die than be helped to 10, the more the merrier. Where do you fall? Now, my second question is this. If you are asked for help by someone you support and care about, how likely are you to do whatever they needed? Number 1 being, hey, go rub some dirt on it. Or 10, drop everything even at the sacrifice of your own needs. Where do you fall on that list? I'm guessing if you listen to me weekly, you're a 10 on both of those. Well, a lot of people are not good at it. And a lot of people say things like, I'd rather die than accept help, but I die to help you. And that's what we have to address. We need to close the gap between accepting help and giving it. Because if we don't, we're going to continually find ourselves in these perpetual cycles and vortexes that suck us into misery. So here are some steps from the research to help you help yourself help others. 1, model seeking help. Too many people see seeking help as a weakness, and yet I just told you that our brains love helping just as much as it likes ice cream. Humans are wired to support each other. It's how we survive. So can we please just drop the, I wasn't raised to get help from others, and begin to seek opportunities to engage others in our collective struggles. True friends do not keep a scorecard of favors. And when you need help or someone needs help, Buffalo leaders just run to it. Remember that. Be empathetic and ask for help. You're actually increasing the happiness of others. It is not a burden. Now, most importantly, as leaders, we need to recognize the science I just shared. People like to help. And why we all believe it's a burden is just nuts. Now, we don't like to enable, and we don't like to be enabled, but we do like to help. Modeling asking for help as a leader is critical. Flip again to being empathetic and being an empathetic smart thinker just for a second. When a boss or a kid or a friend, when they ask you for help and you provide assistance, it feels pretty good. And when you've realized or received help, while sometimes there's a momentary guilt, it dissipates quickly when you recognize the lift resulting from the assistance. When you get help to overcome something that is weighing on you and someone provides lift, it's awesome. The second step for help is making it non-negotiable. There are people, and I'm one of them, that just can't ask. And when others just step in front and say, hey, we're doing this, people become quick to realize they have two choices at this point. You can either accept the support, or you can create conflict and face a deeper failure. I work with somebody like this, and she'll just step in, take something from me, and walk away. And I sit there stunned momentarily, but then I realize she needs to do that, and I need her to do that for me. Now, I'm not talking about sitting someone down in a room and creating a circle of friends to create an intervention to force help. I'm talking about walking right up to someone and saying, I'm seeing what you are going through, and I'm going to create some lift. An example would be a colleague or friend who's overwhelmed with work and can't seem to find the time to get things done or even see that they need the help. The traditional approach would be to ask if you can help them. The old, hey, can I help you with something? And then have them rebuff you. And then you walk away frustrated because you know they're being proud or stubborn and they're going to fail. But instead, you walk in, see what they've all got to do, and then you just pick something up and go do it. Someone complains they're in financial trouble, go pay the bill. Someone needs more time, cover recess for them without asking. Someone is overwhelmed, take their shift, whatever it is. It feels good for the helper, and it even feels better on the receiving end. It's like a surprise gift. The third step is to eliminate a feeling of debt. Asking for help is really hard because most people feel that accepting support from others means that they owe the other person something. Remember what I said before. There are no scorecards in true friendship. Well, there are no debts in leadership. And in order to make that narrative disappear, here is the stem sentence you need to employ when providing help to others. Ready? I'm going to support this and you, and if you try to repay me, I'm going to be upset. Yep, you need to eliminate the belief that there will be debt. Asking for help hurts. Literally hurts, and accepting it becomes more difficult if you don't know what is expected in return. Life is not some code of honor where a favor is owed for a favor given. Serving others means just that, serving. I have yet to find a book entitled Leadership, the Art of Collecting on Favors. The fourth step is reinforcing humility. When you help someone, that is between you and them. If you feel that the need or you have the need to tell others how awesome you are because you just helped someone, you didn't help anyone. Instead, you hurt everyone. Because now people have an additional worry. They're worried how many people you're going to tell. They're worried that others will think they're weak. And they'll know you're going to gossip about how much help was needed. So the step to reinforcing a culture of support as a leader is simple. When you see other people take action and help, step in and do something for others, or you hear about it, you subtly and quietly say to them, hey, I saw what you did there. Thank you. And then you walk away. No conversation or opportunity for the other person to puff up. Just a simple reinforcement. Have you ever been watching the news and they glom onto a story about a woman who jumps into a lake to save a kid, and then some news person jams a microphone in front of their face and you can see how painful it is for them to stand there as the reporter calls them a hero? That's humility. That's what we need to do as leaders. When we witness someone asking for help and then someone provides it, we just quietly reinforce it. Think about this for a second. People don't like to ask for help, but they love to give it. What does that mean for you? One, it means knock it off with the stubbornness and ask for help. Seek the support that we're all willing to give you. The fear and pain receptors that are triggering are only in your mind. There is no actual physical pain. Second, when you give help, do so with no conditions. Know what they need, provide it, and then move on. It feels really good, and the other person moves closer to content or success. Being a Buffalo leader is a conscious choice, the choice of taking the path of the most resistance. That means people will fight your optimism. They'll challenge your mindset, and they won't always accept your help. But we're living in a weird world. Many of my teacher friends are on the verge of disengagement. Students are struggling with navigating the world and 11 months of restrictions. And we are all trying to do our best. But as my buddy Aaron says to me all the time, Theodore, sometimes our best just ain't good enough. And that is the tipping point at which we need to recognize and then accept help or seek it. Asking for help is like training for a race. The first time you run a mile, it hurts. But the 10th time you run a mile, feels really good. It's rewarding. It makes you healthier and stronger. It is the exact same progression you'll experience in the journey towards being helped and helpful. So let's do some smart thinking. List what stops you from asking for help. Describe what you can do to support a culture of seeking and supporting help. And then finally, list times you've helped others without an expectation of reward. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. Hey, as always, thank you for listening to the Smart Thinking Podcast. And please help me by taking a second to rate the podcast and share this episode on your social media platform. I mean, do you know how hard it was for me to just ask you for that help? See what I did there? Ouch, it hurts. Okay, well, as always, thank you to the Well Pennies for the great music. Now, as you head into your week, I cannot emphasize enough how you have to create the conditions that spark a helpful culture and climate. You heard the research. Helping is easy and being helped is painful. For some reason, we're all under the belief that being helped is a weakness. Yet, we have the highest levels of mental health issues ever. We have depression peaking and suicide rates never before seen. It makes me wonder if it's time for us as leaders to lead and help by showing others it's okay to be helped. And it's expected that we help each other, that we help without debt, that we help for the intrinsic reward, and that we are helpful to and for others. As I was finalizing this episode, I asked my wife, Megan, hey, am I good at asking for help? She just gave me a look. You know that look that someone who both loves you and knows you better than you gives you? And then she said, you're the worst. If anyone helps you, you feel like you have to pay them back for eternity, and you never ask for help. You struggle, and we all watch you. I stood there looking at her as a Valentine's Hallmark movie was streaming in the background, and then I shared with her the research about it being painful to ask for help, and she just smiled and said, get over it. I thought to myself, thank goodness I have this woman in my life. She keeps me honest and grounded. So, like you, I have some work to do. And I believe it is all of our responsibility to make it okay to ask for help. So here I go. Ready? Will you help me help others by making it okay to simply ask for some help?
I need somebody, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. And now these days have gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now fine, I changed my mind, I've opened up the door.